Thanks for coming in, Mr. Mahoney. Do you have your member ID card?
Yep, I have it right here in the FEP Blue app. See?
Great.
It's awesome. The app can also help me find a provider and keep tabs on my deductibles.
Okay, can I...
Oh, yeah, and my out-of-pocket spending and visit limits, and I can call the nurse line.
I'm really glad it does all that, but I only need to see your member ID card.
Oh, that's it? Why didn't you say so?
Fearless is just one tap away. With the new FEP Blue app from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, you can access your health benefits on the go. Download it now at fepblue.org/app.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily podcast on the Detroit Lions, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, let's plate this dish, shall we, on a Monday night on September the 12th and September 13th, a Tuesday. Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You're listening on audioboom.com. Love the website and all everything that they do for us, and also on iTunes. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please do. The town is abuzz. And why not? The Lions get a win, a much-needed win, a much-deserved win, a much awkward-at-the-end win over the Indianapolis Colts yesterday, 39-35. If you missed the podcast yesterday, take a listen to it as we recapped everything last night. And now we're back to business here on a regular work week and a Monday for the Lions. Jim Caldwell held his press conference earlier today, and we're going to talk about the Reverend Jim Caldwell coming up in the podcast. Also, your tweets are welcome at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks. I asked a very intriguing question about Caldwell versus Chuck Pagano yesterday and timeout palooza that took place at the end of the game by both coaches. We'll get into that coming up. You can also hit us up on Facebook, the Matt Derry fan page as well. Coming up a little bit later on in the podcast tonight, a legendary caller from the Detroit Sports 105.1 days will weigh in on the Lions. A guy I have not heard from since the day I was let go, March 18th or whatever it was, from 105.1. So we're going to rekindle an old flame with one of the fun callers coming up in a little while right here on Locked On Lions. But I want to get into something here because, you know, I was listening a little bit this morning to what Jamie and Stoney talking about on the ticket. I heard a little bit about Mike and Rieger talking about it earlier today. I've seen a lot online about it. I discussed it with some Lions fans earlier today about what took place at the end of the game. I guess my main question is, can Lions fans, and for you in your car driving home from work or to work here on Tuesday morning, listening to the podcast, have you thought about the fact that maybe, just maybe, your head coach, who is not known for his late game clock management, who is not known for his late game play management, all right, Green Bay last year, Hail Mary, can you give your head coach, Jim Caldwell, some credit for yesterday not screwing up the end of the game? Now remember, we got to go back to yesterday. The Colts are driving, trailing by 6. The Lions probably need to start calling timeout as the clock is winding to under 2 minutes to go, under a minute and a half to go. Andrew Luck hits T.Y. Hilton, and they're in the red zone, and the Colts take a timeout with 1:15 left. Now, originally watching the game, I thought, all right, the Lions are going to start burning some timeouts. They need to. The Lions need to stop the clock because it's likely the Colts are going to score the way these two teams' defenses were playing or not playing yesterday. And so the Reverend Jim Caldwell has got to stop the clock to give Matthew Stafford and the offense some time. Yet, what took place? The Colts called timeout with a minute 15 to go. Then on the next play, officials called for a review of a catch by Dante Moncrief, again stopping the clock. And then on the next play, Luck looks back at the end zone and finds all of a sudden all world, the next Kellen Winslow, Dallas Clark, Jack Doyle, number 84 on the back of the end zone. And boom, the Lions have got to go the length of the field in about 35 seconds. But that clock could have been down to 5 seconds, 10 seconds, if the Colts weren't dumb enough to use timeouts. Now, I saw a tweet from Bob Kravitz from the Indianapolis Star, very good writer who's been on the national scene for a while. And I believe he was quoted as saying last night that, hey, Caldwell admitted to people that, yes, he would have started using timeouts and that he was running down the sidelines trying to get a timeout only to see the clock stop by the opposing coach, Chuck Pagano. It's shades of a few years ago when Caldwell was the head coach of the Colts and he used timeouts, giving the Jets time for Nick Folk to hit a game-winning field goal and send the Jets into the next round and the Colts home. And it's something that if you Google Jim Caldwell, Colts Jets, it's out there for you. So today Jim Caldwell was asked about it. Mike and Mike on ESPN were baffled by Chuck Pagano's failure to leave no stone unturned at the end of the game and leave no time left on the clock for Stafford to go down the field. I heard them talking about it this morning. Caldwell was asked about having three timeouts left at the end of the game today and his philosophy on taking timeouts. And first of all, let me say, for the record, because you're listening to Matt Derry talk right here on Locked On Lions, I think Jim Caldwell outcoached Chuck Pagano yesterday. I think Pagano blew those timeouts, and Caldwell having three in his pocket, at least he didn't have one. At least in the third quarter, Caldwell didn't burn a silly timeout. At least this team didn't count on an extra point or a field goal attempt in the second half. 10 men, 12 men, and had to burn a timeout. Yes, I'm giving Jim Caldwell some credit for not using timeouts, but you have to in this scenario. Caldwell today said, quote, most of the people that you're observing don't understand maybe the value of having three timeouts and also how you got there without using any timeouts. So you didn't have any blunders in terms of substitutions. You didn't have a call that was messed up, that you had to run down or too many men on the field, all these kinds of things. If you can stay away from those kinds of things and don't waste timeouts in the first and third quarter, you're typically going to be in pretty good shape. It's a little different ballgame if we don't have all three timeouts. You know, our approach may have been a little bit different as well, but the confidence they showed because they've done it, you know, numerous times, they're accustomed to it, and we change up scenarios all the time, end quote. Caldwell says he believes there have been times in his tenure as a head coach where his teams have led the league in number of timeouts available at the end of games. All right, come on now. Jim, come on. Really? Are we going to have to go back and look at, like, crazy stats and get Elias involved? Caldwell said the Lions have a system in place to determine clock management issues late in games. Let me tell you something right now. If Caldwell didn't use timeouts and the Colts ended up just running clock, and it ran, and then that's fireable that he wouldn't have enough time. He got lucky. Now, I think Jim Caldwell outcoached Chuck Pagano. I think the offensive system and the play calling and everything that went into yesterday, the Lions knew what to exploit, and that does give the head coach some credit. But patting him on the back for Pagano calling the timeout at a minute 15 to go and allowing him to have three timeouts at his disposal, I'd rather blame Pagano more than give Caldwell credit. That's just my take on it. The Lions definitely got help. With that being said, they were in a position to where they were pretty well coached all day and didn't have to burn any timeouts. Whereas in the past, as we saw especially last year, countless times this team had 12 men or 10 men on the field for field goals and defending field goals a lot. That was a major concern and major issue last season. All right, do you guys think, on Twitter, at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, that Jim Caldwell should get some credit? Let me answer your tweets in a second. First, I want to remind you, go to the Locked On Podcast Network. Check out Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson. All the stuff from the Monday Night Games will be on there. Locked On Fantasy with Vinny Iyer also is there for you as well. All of that on the Locked On Podcast Network. Great podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. Also, Locked On Pistons. Pistons fans, you want to hear Dan Feldman talk Pistons every day? It's there for you as well. All right, as far as your reaction to my tweet, and I put this on here, I said, did Jim Caldwell really outsmart Chuck Pagano yesterday? A couple of tweets coming in at Doyo Poss, D-O-Y-O-P-O-S-S, says, no, Pagano lost his mind for calling timeout. Made zero sense. Duncan Smith, oh, hell no. Caldwell was an unmitigated disaster at the end of the game. Well, look, as the clock was winding down, 2 minutes, a minute and a half, sure, we're all yelling, use a timeout, use a timeout. And he said, nope, we're going to keep all three. And they did get a little lucky for sure. But again, they had all three. Joe, a DFS dog, says no credit for Caldwell. Sean Phillips says, hey, Matt, didn't outsmart him. Classic shootout yesterday. Last team with the ball was going to win. Coaching didn't play a factor. To say that Caldwell and his group did not play any factor yesterday, I don't agree with that. I do believe the coaching staff deserves credit for exploiting what the Colts' weaknesses were all day long. All right, now the defense needs a lot of work. They played very poorly. But you know what this has turned into in the NFL? This has turned into last man with the ball wins. That's what this has turned into. It really has. It's turned into that. All right, I want to remind you guys, have you ever heard of MyBookie.net? Hey, the games have started, NFL games, got a couple of them tonight. It's going to be awesome. Get in on the action and play like the pros at MyBookie.net. Most exciting online experience for sports fans. It really is, all right? MyBookie features real Vegas odds and incredible player props on every football game. If the game's already started, don't worry about it. MyBookie has live in-games with odds updated in real time. It's never too late to make a play at MyBookie.net. It's optimized for smartphone users, for nonstop action on the go. If you go online right now, type in MyBookie in your browser. Sign up today. Use the promo code LIONS. Promo code LIONS, L-I-O-N-S, to be entered into their $1 million prize pool. Or you can give them a call. The number is 844-722-2387. That's 844-722-2387. Join the thousands of online players that are already playing. Only the biggest, only the best, only at MyBookie. Sign up today. A couple of some more tweets coming in on Jim Caldwell. A lot of people today are doing this, okay? A lot of people are giving Matthew Stafford uber credit, and they should. He was an absolute beast yesterday, and that's the best I've ever seen Matthew Stafford play. He was absolutely fantastic, carrying this team to that victory. You know, and just, man, he just had a way about him yesterday, which was stunning to me, which I had not seen in a long, long time. 340 yards pass, a quarterback rating of 128 point, a passer rating of 128.6, QBR of 89.6, but I'm more of a passer rating guy. How many times last year did we talk about, when's Stafford going to break the three digits? When's he going to be over 100 in passer rating? Boy, was he good yesterday. And you know what? I didn't give him enough credit yesterday, and I want to do this right now. Eric Ebron played a whale of a game. All right, he made a key block on the Theo Riddick touchdown run, a seal block. He caught five balls for 46 yards. He was targeted five times, caught it five times. All right, for all the hand-wringing fans have done about Eric Ebron and all the fun that I've made of him, too, Eric Ebron came to play yesterday and can be a nice target for Matthew Stafford down the road and maybe even this weekend against Tennessee. All right, Eric Ebron would be a nice guy to have if he's healthy. Shrad Cooter Rooter writes in on Twitter at DS1434. Either team is going to win in spite of their coach yesterday. I guess Jim Caldwell's not going to get a lot of love. Not a surprise. All right, special guest here on Locked On Lions, a podcast rolling along here on September 12th. I haven't heard this guy's voice in a long time. It's always great to check in with him after a big Lions victory yesterday in Indianapolis. You know he loves his Lions. Caller Brian!
Matt, let me tell you, you're fooling the people. That wasn't a big win, Matt. They played against a MASH unit.
Come on, dude. Can't you give them any credit ever?
Matt, you know what I was disappointed in? When they named Orlovsky the backup, I lost all respect for Caldwell.
That's your angle right now? That's your angle? What about Stafford?
No, bro. They played against a MASH unit. That's all that was. And they barely won. And the defense, Matt, was horrible. How many games do you think they're going to win?
You know, I'll be honest, Brian. I had Maz on the podcast a few weeks ago, and real surprise, I know you're stunned. Tom says they can win 10 games. I they're not winning 10 games.
Listen, they might not win 10 games if you add the season and next season. They might not get 10 games.
But you have to.
This organization is horrible.
Oh, here we go. We're talking to caller Brian from Detroit, of course, famous caller on 105.1 back in the day with us, and always found a way to to throw a huge bucket of cold water on any Lions' momentum. But I sometimes sided with you, Brian. A lot of times I didn't. But, yeah, when Maz said 10 games a couple weeks ago on the podcast, and I'm going to send it to you, I was like, oh, I was hoping that somehow you were listening to that nonsense. They're not winning 10 games.
We understand Maz got health issues because he couldn't have said that with any common sense, man. We know, man, the Lions is a bad organization. And on a serious note, when they name Orlovsky, like I heard somebody say, he's the worst backup in football ever, probably.
You know,
and they name him the quarterback.
You usually have really good material, Brian, and I left you on longer than any callers on the station, but that's your angle today, is Orlovsky? I figured you'd bag on the defense or Jim Caldwell or something.
Listen, I'm bagging on the Lions because there's no way they should have had that game won yesterday. They should have had that game won.
Well, they did win. But they did win.
Yeah, man, that's all fine and dandy. Look how many guys Indianapolis lost.
Well, sure.
Before the game, during the game, man, if the Lions get 5 or 6 wins, I'd be very surprised.
Wow, so you're saying 5-11 or 6-10, huh?
Yeah, 5-11 or 6-10. Man, they were very lucky to win yesterday. Yes, I'm going to give them credit because they did win. But, man, they played horrible. And that defense, that's supposed to be the strong point of their team. They got ran up and down. They didn't put no pressure on Luck. He ran up and down the field. That'd be in a world of trouble.
I was very surprised at the poor game that Ziggy Ansah played. I'm a huge Ziggy guy. I know that for all the Lions hate that you spew out there, you have to respect his talent. But, boy, he was... After the first quarter, you didn't even hear his name called.
Matt, everybody don't understand. Ziggy Ansah came on with Tuesday, came on last year. Now when you are the actual focus point on the defense, we'll see if you're the real deal. And I didn't hear him at all in the second half. I didn't hear his name at all.
What about Stafford, dude? He looked good yesterday. That was the best game I've ever seen him play.
And he looked like he was telling people what to do. I give him a world of credit, Matt. But you got to beat somebody. Because I can't see them beating Green Bay. I can't see them beating Minnesota. They're going to be in trouble, Matt. It looked all good now. Matthew Stafford looked real good. It's one of the best games he ever played. He took control. But, man, they did against the MASH unit. Those guys, they did against the MASH unit. There's no other way to look around it. Because in 2 or 3 weeks, when they won in whatever... This game not gonna mean anything.
So they're not gonna beat they're not gonna beat Tennessee on Sunday at home?
That's gonna be a close game. But they're gonna lose to Green Bay. And who else they got out to Green Bay?
Chicago.
Oh yeah, that's 2 losses right there. 2 losses. Matt, they might be 2-2 and then it's all downhill.
I'll be the first to tell you, my man, Brian. 2 years in a row winning at Lambeau, I don't know about that.
Listen. We know how that party going in right there. And plus, listen, Green Bay got their number one receiver back now. The party over. The Detroit Lions will be 5 or 6 in what it wins, and that'll be it. And they'll be selling some more of that old garbage all through the summer, pumping us up for the draft. They're in a world of trouble, man. They are who we said they are. Same old Lions.
Oh, no, come on. Hey, if they were SOL, if they were same old Lions, they would have lost yesterday, right? Come on.
Matt, I'm going to say it again. They played against the MASH unit.
I know, but that game had SOL written all over it, didn't it?
Man, you can't play the little rascals and claiming you the big man on campus.
Hmm.
Matt, they just in trouble, man, and time will tell it. It's going to all come out. And will Matthew Stafford play this way against a good defense?
No question. I'm just saying yesterday, and I mentioned this earlier on the podcast, and I said it on yesterday's show, I really believe that he had a different look to him. He looks in better shape. He looks thinner. He looks more elusive. He should be this good. He should have played like this all the time as a number one overall pick and a guy that's in his 8th year. But maybe, just maybe, he's going to put this team on his back and they'll surprise some people.
The only reason he's getting a little better because he know in the next year and a half, he's going to be the highest paid player in football. And I wouldn't give him that contract. But the Lions going to give it to him. He's going to be the highest paid player in football, and he don't deserve it. Man, how, can you give a guy that kind of contract and don't have no playoff wins?
You and I both know that's not how it works, though. I mean, you and I are both from the old school. I'm with you. What have you done for me lately? How many dubs are you giving me? But again, a lot of it is based on potential. Brian, it was...
They're going to give them that money, man, and they're going to be in the same spot that they're in now. 6, 7, 8, 9 games.
You never disappoint, Brian. It's great to hear your voice, brother.
Oh, man, I love hearing from you, man. Make sure you send me that so I can start listening to it.
Absolutely. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Caller Brian from Detroit. Love you, buddy. There he is. Caller Brian from Detroit. Never disappoints, does he? Always bagging on the line. Even after yesterday's win, even after all this positivity, Cole O'Brien throwing the huge ice bucket over Lions Nation's heads. All right, that'll do it for Locked On Lions, September 12th into 13th. Matt Derry with you on a Monday. I'm going to go watch some Tribe baseball. I'll see you later.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.